This is Matt Wells from UN News. If fighting around the rebel-held Syrian enclave of Idlib escalates, with 300,000 already forced to flee their homes, a humanitarian catastrophe could well ensue. That's according to World Food Programme, or WFP, spokesperson Marwa Awad, who warns in an interview with UN News that depression and anger is now widespread across the region. The majority of displaced are moving towards the northern border with Turkey, where humanitarian camps are stretched beyond capacity and families are living on top of each other. Ms. Awad spoke by phone from Syria to Mai Yaqub of our UN News Arabic service.
There has been ongoing hostilities in the southern part of Idlib and the northern part of Hama, and this had led to a tremendous number of people fleeing their homes. We know that there is over 300,000 people who have left their homes running, looking for safety, and this has resulted in a tremendous pressure on our partners on the ground to deliver food assistance and other sorts of assistance to those fleeing. We know that the escalation in violence continues. We're going to be looking at a catastrophe unfolding in the northwest. We have been reaching 200,000 people of the 300,000 who were recently displaced with emergency food assistance. But in addition to that, we've had scaled up in our monthly regular deliveries of food rations. Now we're going to be reaching 823,000 people through Turkey, through our cross-border operation. And this is just to keep the food security situation intact during this difficult time.
I know that you have partners on the ground who can go into Idlib. WFP did not go personally in Idlib. But from your partners on the ground, what do people tell them? How can you describe their situation and their needs?
Yes, our partners are in close contact with us, and they're the ones who are truly brave delivering food assistance on the front lines. Their mood is depressed and angry at the same time. People are tremendously tired every time that they come to think that things have settled down and they could rebuild their lives. More hostilities would erupt. So there is difficulty in finding stability. Some of the families have lost everything because they have been displaced more than once. And so every time there's displacement, you're only able to carry with you very little. And so people over time have lost all their belongings. We know that some families have had to sell their valuables to get transportation from the southern parts of Idlib to the northern camp. And those who've reached the camp, they're considered lucky because they've come out safe. However, they're facing extremely difficult living conditions in the camp that are really on the brim. And one of our partners was telling us that there is no space to set up tents, new tents. And so families have had to either stay outdoors or join other families in their tents. And there's quite a number of tents. Each one would have up to four families. Mm. So you can imagine that the conditions are very strenuous for people who've already escaped violence and now they have to deal with living basically on top of each other.
What is the scale of destruction and its impact on civilians, particularly vulnerable people?
Our partners are telling us that a lot of the infrastructure has been badly damaged in northern Hama and southern Idlib, and this is very concerning. In addition to that, we've been extremely concerned by the destruction of farmland. The farmland is very precious in Syria, and we're seeing that there's quite a number of acres that have caught fire, and as a result, crops have been destroyed. And this is the harvest season. The harvest season extends into the middle of this month, into mid-June. And so sadly, a lot of people whose lives depend on these crops have lost them. And so this will undoubtedly affect the food security situation.
We heard that you took a field visit to Al-Hol camp in Hasaka, which originally was built for 25,000 people, but now hosting more than 73,000 people. I mean, what do you see on the ground? How do those people live in such a crowded camp?
Yes, Al-Hol camp is actually quite concerning as well. It was built in the early part of 2001 or something like that, and it was intended for Iraqi refugees, and it was sufficient for 25,000 people. But now, with the latest military offensive in the northeast. Large number of people have come out, women, children, elderly, and men as well. And that influx of IDPs or displaced people has put a lot of pressure in the camp. Now it houses three times more people. Mm-hmm. And as a result, of course, there's a difficulty for humanitarians to fulfill the needs of the families there. Water is a problem. Getting clean water seems to be an issue with the huge number of people. We're providing food assistance. Our partners are doing their best to provide medical assistance, especially to the number of children who've come out from the northeast and entered the camp in a bad condition, suffering from malnourishment.
Are the people still stranded in the camp? Can they go out? Or some family?
No,
can...
people are not. No, the folks on the inside are not allowed to exit the camp. This is a concern to them because many of them would like to be able to leave. But in general, the hope of many IDPs, this is not or displaced families, this is not just the case of people within Al-Hol camp. It's definitely the main request that we kept hearing. However, we kept reminding the families that we're visiting to inquire about the food security situation, the food, the nutrition that they're getting. And so this is what we were able to discuss with them during our stay.
What is WFP doing currently on the ground to help the stranded people in Al-Hol camp?
Yes, we're providing the food. We're covering the entire food needs of all residents of the camp, so irrespective of their background or their nationality. What we're after is to be able to provide food, sufficient food and nutrition to prevent any worsening of food security situation there. At the same time, our partners from different United Nations agencies are looking at other things, such as protection issues, as well as the health concerns. And we're all collectively calling for a dignified solution for the camp and for the people inside.